Yeah, I'd like to share with you Dvar Halacha and then separately a Inyan Machshava, both which at least connect to the parasha. Dvar Halacha, I'd like to share with you a Rosh. The Rosh is in Bava Kamma, the second parak, Siman Beis. And the Rosh there says a klal that any halacha l'moshe m'sinai that we find anywhere, he says, halacha l'moshe m'sinai comes for a kula. The Rosh says, halacha l'moshe m'sinai l'grua yasa, which means that the halacha l'moshe m'sinai typically is a kula. There are many kulas that we know in halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Lavud and Daifin Akuma, all the coolest of us building a sukkah. Certainly many, many coolest that are Lacha Mesha Messinai, but the Rosh seems to say that it's a cloud that every Lacha Mesha Messinai is a cooler. The case the Rosh is talking about in the beginning of the second parak in Bava Kamma, anybody figure out what the Lacha Mesha Messinai is? It's the first sukkah there is Tzrairis. Tzrairis is when an animal, mekaychai, causes damage and pays chatzi nezek. So the Rosh is a three-line Rosh, but he declares a beautiful chakira. He says, is the pshat that kaychai kegufai, and really you should be chayiv nezek shalai, and the Lacha Mesha M'Sinai comes to say you pay only chatzi nezek, or is kaychai lav kegufai, and really you should be potter, and Halacha Mesha M'Sinai comes to be machmir, that you pay chatzi nezek. Nafkaminis for other cases of kaychei kegufa. So he says, since we have a rule that Halacha Mesha M'Sinai is only coming to be meikel, so therefore it must be that meikel adin kaychei kegufa, you have to pay nezek shalai. And Halacha Mesha M'Sinai comes to tell you that you pay only chatzi nezek. That's the Rosh's klal. The Rosh brings one more marshal, which has to do with sukkahs. Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah, I think it's Davav, that we learn out of a pasuk, we have three pesukim actually, that there are three walls, Gimel Shleisha Defanis for Sukkah. Gemara says there are three walls to a Sukkah. Halacha L'moshe M'Sinai comes along and says, one wall is only, it's enough for it to be a tefach. So which wall is it enough to be a tefach? You can learn two ways. You can learn, because there's a custom is three walls. Halacha Mesha M'Sinai is a fourth wall that's a tefach. But that would be Halacha Mesha M'Sinai L'chumra. We paskin, it's actually a sugi in the Gemara, but we paskin like the Chachamim, that there are three walls. Halacha Mesha M'Sinai knocks it down that the third wall is enough for tefach. How did the Gemara know that? Because of this cloud. Because Halacha Mesha M'Sinai is always coming to be meikel, and since the Halacha Mesha M'Sinai comes to be meikel, so therefore the third daifin must be go down to be, obviously it's saying tefach, it's taking the third daifin and being meikel that the third daifin can be a tefach. Those are the two examples that the Rosh brings. In the main law, you can all understand that such a cloud has many applications that are many kashas. A few of the things that come out kishmak with this is talking about Tishrei. So by a luliv, the halacha is if you hold a luliv, the avaminim, and a person has a ring on his finger. So that's a chatzitza. A person who has a ring is supposed to take off his ring. If he's wearing tefillin, he's supposed to take the ritzuas off his hand. Because it's a chatzitza, it's a sugya, sukkah daf lamed zayin, that there's such an idea as a chatzitza. The truth is the Ran learns it's not dine chatzitza, it's alfa kichatama, lakachtam kichatama. The Taisa says it's chatzitza. That is a chatzitza. When you hold the arba minim, nothing else should be in your hand. So the question is, what's the rule by chatzitza min ha-taira? What's the rule? Anybody know? Chatzitza, a miyut, is not a chatzitza. A chatzitza min ha-taira, if someone goes to his table, a keli or a person, The din d'oraisa is that it's only a chatzitza if it's rubai, if it's on rive of his body, or rive of the kelim. So why by lulav is it a chatzitza with a mashal? So the Chalkus Yaakov answers with this rush. The Gemara says, Shiurin chatzitzin u'mechitzin halacha meshim esina. Gemara says, the chatzitza, the din that rive by a mikveh, is a chatzitza, is halacha meshim esina. So 1 minute, that's a chumrah. It's a chumrah, I would think it's a good tefillah. So chatzitza, halacha meshim esina, that's a chumrah, it's a chumrah. Must be. No. The Svara Chitzayna is, before Allah Shem Sinai, is that any mashahu should be a chatzitza. Because you're not toiveling in water. You're covered. Even a part of you is covered. The Allah Shem Sinai is coming to be mekel, because Allah Shem Sinai can only be mekel. So it's coming to be mekel, then in a mikvah, then a taira, it's not a chatzitza unless it's rife. But from there we see that it was not dinei mikvah, anywhere else, the Svarach Yitzayna is that a mashahu is a chatzitza. So that's why when it's not mikvahs, let's say by lulav, or he brings another example by a kayin doing the avayda, he brings a gemara in the Svachim daf yotes, that the kayin, if he has any dirt on his body, that's chaitzitz in his body in the big day kahuna, it's chaitzitz. Even offer al gufay. And it's not right. Because since it's al offer Shem Sinai, by mikvahs, that's as right as a chatzitza, that has to be a kula. Normally, the svarach yitzayna is that any amount that interferes is considered to be an interference and a chatzitza. There are long lists of halachot meshim esinai. A few of them come out more gishmak with the rush. Those of you who learn sukkah know there's a rule, ein lavud lahachmir. We say lavud. Lavud is if you have two strings by a wall of a sukkah, it's like they're connected. The Ran says, ein lavud lahachmir. Lavud is only a kula, not a chumra. Pashit, it's a new rule. Ein lavud lahachmir. Like the Rush, it's very geshmak. Lavud is a kula. Talach Rishon Sinai. So it's very geshmak. Rav Moshe has a tshuva on this Rush in the first chelik of Yeridaya. The end, I think, is Reish Yud Zayin. And he also brings something else that's in a very geshmak away with this rush. And he has a number of kashas on the rush as well. He asks, and a number of achrayim who tumble about the rush, whether the rush meant it in all halacha, I mean, there are a bunch of halacha mishnah sinai which seems to be problematic. The din that Revi's dam is metam of oil, for example, that's a kula, it's not a kula. So they are kashas, okay. On a rishon, you have kashas, you try to answer. And the kula I wanted to get to is that Ramesha is a kasha, that another sukkahs mitzvah, he asks from Nisuch Hamayim. Nisuch Hamayim is the mitzvah to pour water on the Mizbeach on Sukkis, as one of the Nesachim. And that's Halacha Mishnah Sinai. The Gemara says, Arava, the Nisuch Hamayim, another Sukkis mitzvah, the Arava on the Shana Rabbah. The mitzvah Arava on the Shana Rabbah, and the mitzvah of Nisuch Hamayim is Halacha Mishnah Sinai. So there, it's a new eschaivis, it's a new obligation. The Chayra there, it's a Chumrah. It's a Chumrah, they have to do Nisuch Hamayim, you have to do Arava. So Rav Moshe, to answer this Kasha, says a Yisoid, which he's saying, B'derach HaHalacha, but we have to understand, we have to appreciate B'derach HaMachshava as well. Rav Moshe says that Riboy Mitzvahs is not a Chumrah. If you tell me the Tfilas HaMikvah is possible, that's a Chumrah. You tell me that I get an Einish, Nezik Shalim, that's a Chumrah. You tell me I can't eat in the Sukkah, that's a Chumrah. Those are all the examples we gave are Chumrahs. But Riboy Mitzvahs, that's not a Chumrah. We say, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvaysa, the Tzivanu. Riboy mitzvahs are not just the lemaisa. You have to do something more. But the gather of chumrah, that's not called chumrah. A yid be'etzem is supreme to come on to mitzvahs and to do mitzvahs asay. And without this cloud, the whole rush has no shprach, because there are a number of areas where there's such a musig of halach shem sinai creating mitzvahs. So this is his nekuda. His nekuda is that the idea of ribur mitzvahs is not a chumrah. It's really a rotzen that a yid has. You know, the Rambam says that every yid's rotzen pnimi is to do rotzen Hashem. And he says that this is not a chumrah. That's how he's miyashiv the rush. Like I said, he has some other cases, but that's how he's miyashiv this rush. So this is the rush, and a little bit of tumbling around the rush. It's a nice rush to be aware of when you come up to different sugyas of Halacha Mishnah Sinai. But this last nekuda, the nekuda of attitude that he talks about, is something that's not what we're used to. We're used to mitzvah nitin loyalat avaram. It's an obligation. It's chayvus. And the idea that a mitzvah in derech kiyumai is something a yid does a mitzvah tzefridin. When he sets out to do it, it's a burden. When he does it, he's a tzefridin person. It's a different type of a hasaga, a different type of a feeling. The parasha we have this week, you know, now we have the Teichacha. We have Moshe Rabbeinu's Teichacha here in Parashas Kisavai. Tepela, the Gemara says something like, the Gemara Megillah, Lamed Aleph, says something to the effect, seems to say, that the other Teichacha God wrote, and this Teichacha Moshe Rabbeinu, Me'atzmai, the Gemara says. Kilu, Moshe Rabbeinu, Me'atzmai wrote the whole, and these are different, it's tyrant. But somehow Moshe Rabbeinu Me'atzmai said it. So the Gemara says, why do we read the Teichacha before Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says, Ezra made this takana that we read the Teichacha, because you should read the Teichacha v'tichla shana v'kil leisel, so that the year and its curses should come to an end. So you read this, it's hard to understand it. By laying the Teichacha, the year of the curses come to an end. I guess the Pashup shot is that everyone reads the Teichacha gets so scared that they run into tshuva and Tichla Shana v'kil leisel. It's a little, just not the way it is. It's not exactly the way it is that everyone gets frightened by reading a Nusach that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a long time ago. The idea of teichacha, of musar, of being mekabel teichacha, is a yisoid and hatzlacha in serving the Rabbi Yishalom. The difference is someone who's successful and someone who's not successful is not that one of them has a yetzahara and one doesn't have a yetzahara. There's no such thing. The difference is if somebody is mekabel teichacha, he's willing to change if someone tells him musar and he hears it. And he hears it. Not every divrei musa strikes a person, but a person's open to teichacha. Then he'll have a tzlacha. Then he'll be matzliach, and things he does will fall, will pick himself up, and he's open to teichacha. He puts himself in a place where he has teichacha. There are many people that are just turned off to teichacha. You can't tell them musa. They don't hear anything. Such a person has no chance, because everybody falls, everybody stumbles, everybody has places where he makes mistakes, where he falls away from an area in Avodas Hashem. The idea of Moshe Rabbeinu's Teichacha coming to cause a Tichla Shana v'kil leiseha is not the words of the Chumash. It's not the words of the Chumash which frighten you and scare you. It's Chilu Paneh Marika, as Rashi says, they got so frightened. That's not the vart of Tichla Shana v'kil leiseha. When we read something in the Torah, it's teaching us something. It's teaching us there's such a musig as Teichacha. There's such a musig as being told musig. There's such a musig as being a kabbal musig. the tichla shana v'kilay seha is in that. In a person being able to be a makabel. The whole shoshana, Yom Kippur, is to be a makabel. Fundamentally, we believe that every yid is happy with mitzvahs. Every yid is free to do mitzvahs. And we all feel it once we do it. The person has a geshmak of say that he feels good. There's no such good feeling. Beforehand, we don't always see it. There's a fundamental idea that a yid is happy to, as the Rambam say, every yid is happy to do mitzvahs. Sometimes you have to beat him up to get him to do it. Makanai say, beat him up literally. Makanai say, actually, every right side. But the etzem and the kud of the person is a happiness to do mitzvahs, and that's the idea of being a makabel techacha. It says that when Shlomo HaMelech made his Chanukah Sabayis for the Beis HaMikdash, it was the highlight. The highlight. Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael 440 years earlier, and they didn't have a Beis HaMikdash until David wanted to. It didn't happen. Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, and the whole Klal Yisrael came, and it was during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and they made a Chanukah HaMikdash. So it says that Shlomo HaMelech called his mother. His father wasn't alive. He called his mother to give him Musar Barabin. The language it says in the beginning of Mishlei is Tavcha Bisandola. She hit him with his shoe. And she said, you sleep too late in the morning. And that was her Musar to him. That you oversleep in the morning. Whatever the case that she was talking about was, Fatol Klal Yisrael. She gave him Musar. Obviously, Shlomo was trying to teach the people something. This is Aseres Yemei Tshuva. This is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that it was. So you know what Shlomo HaMelech did after his mother hit him with this shul in front of everyone? Shlomo HaMelech wrote a song. He composed a song. And that song, I hate to disturb your the chalomis you have growing up, that song is Eishes Chayil. And everybody who thinks that Eishes Chayil is about your wife, well, the women could think so, but Eishes Chayil, Shlomo didn't write about his wife. He wrote about his mother. He wrote about his mother that she gives him Musar. He wrote, it's a praise of his mother. Now, I don't know how his wife took it. I don't know if you want to start writing a praise Eishes Chayil, yes, about your mother in front of your wife, but Shlomo HaMelech demonstrated to Klal Yisrael, the whole Klal Yisrael was there at a high moment, that a person has to be oyhev techachos. He has to be someone who has a love for techacha. Someone gives you musa, usually you're angry at the person. You take out a mishlei, you go to Perek Lamed Aleph, which is Eishes Chayil, and you look at Rashi, Pashup Shad, it's about his mother, not about his wife. When a wife gives musar, nobody likes it. Her mother, you have a chance. The point that I want to make is that a person has a rotzen to be a matzliach. And we start as man, and yeah, you read this as man, and some people harden themselves. I tell people, you really should be here for Mincha. I know most of the people are not here for Mincha, but you should be here. So some people say, don't worry. This just goes in one ear, out the other. Nothing in between. Usually in one ear, out the other, there's a brain in between. I mean, it just goes nowhere. And some people need mak here, that there's some techacha to be said. For learning, for schmoozing during learning, for all the things that are normally yetzahars that we have. They are mekabli techacha, and they are ainin mekabli techacha. If you're not a mekabli techacha, so it's downhill. It's straight downhill. It's, you know, when you're in 8th grade, they're still forcing you. In high school, they force you a little, and then high school's over, and it's freedom at last, and, you know, it's all downhill. I don't mean downhill 1 year. I mean downhill from graduating the Sifta till, they have a levaya someday for every person. It's all downhill. If you're not a mekabli techacha, it doesn't get better. But this shunt doesn't get better. The Yetzaras get more frequent. The learning is less. It's a woe to somebody who could be 65 years old and remember when he learned, you know, when he was 20 years old, he was learning. And everything from there is downhill. Imagine a life like that. A life like that starts with someone who's just not willing to listen to change. Just straight downhill. The way it is, it's day by day. The shame is, then the pneumius of it, everybody really has a hava, has a simcha when he serves the Rabbi Shalom. When a person has a gishmaka hatzlocha in serving the Rabbi Shalom, it's the sameach a person. It's the samchid leid. We see it. We see it in people. People who have hatzlocha are happy. And people who don't have hatzlocha are not happy. You can see it. You look at eighth graders. Look at eighth graders. The guys who are matzliach come into yeshiva with a smile, and the guys who are not matzliach are scowling. To help them, you have to help them get better, but the simcha doesn't come down. The parshas Kisava, Tichlashan Mikil Leisel, is a limud that there's such a thing as techacha. There's such an idea as techacha. On Har Ebal, they said klolis in brachas, but the pasuk only brings the klolis, and it's the same idea. It's the idea that this parasha, Kisavai, is a parasha that teaches us to be mekabel techacha. We don't like it. Nobody likes techacha. No one lines up for techacha. But there's that musik. There's that idea of being a mekabel techacha. It's not an easy musik, but it's a... So what I'm telling you is that it's a din. It's a halacha. That yidin are tzefridin to do mitzvahs. You just have to let yourself get there. We think when they pressure people to come to the Mishmar, and they come and they learn, that afterwards they'll be angry. The guy who comes and he actually has a good seder and he learns, he's overjoyed, he's happy. He goes late at night. People go out with a smile. They don't go out with a frown. It struck me, the Mishmar struck me. Last year I had a Thursday night chasana. So I had Rabbi Leif come to the Mishmar to give the shir. I got back to shul, it was about 11:45, just when people were leaving. So I'm driving down from the Bell Park, you know, driving down. The streets are all, at midnight, the streets are quiet. You see a couple of kids here, a couple of adults there, it's quiet. And suddenly I turn to Avenue West and East 22nd Street, and there's dozens of people just walking out of the shul in one shot. I felt so good. Yeah. And they're all smiling. Nobody was angry. Nobody was angry. But you have to do it. If you don't do it, you don't have it. If you don't do it, you don't have it. You have to put the effort in, pick yourself to do it, and you'll be tzefrid. You'll be happy with it. So that's the first issue, the issue of techacha. More than that, the Havana, that if you'll be a makabel techacha, if you'll do it, you'll be a happy person. You'll be a successful person. I once had a very strange experience. An eighth grader here in yeshiva made an appointment to talk to me. It was about the beginning of the year, around this time. He actually came to me. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know him at all. Made an appointment. So I met with him. See, this is what he asked me, a very bright young man. He asked me the following question. He said, "My class in 8th grade is getting split. There are the guys who learn, the guys who are more yeshivish and into learning, and there are guys who are hanging out and doing other things." This is what he said to me. He said, "I know you're going to tell me to learn. That I know. I'm not asking you that." He said, he told me he thought about it. He wants to ask me, where will he be more happy? Where is he going to be more happy? With the guys who are learning? With the guys who are going out and having fun? Where is he going to be more happy? What's the answer? More happy. Right, so yesterday I told you, you plan to go to high school. Yeah, you plan to go to high school for 4 years, yeah. Would you rather for 4 years you walk in and when you see the principal and the Rebbe you smile and you say good morning? Or you'd rather when you see the principal you go hide? And who's really happier? You can spend 4 years in the sift anyway. So where are you happier? If you walk in, you're happy, you're successful, or you walk in, you're hiding. A yid is happier when he's matzliach. And that's the nekuda that I saw in Igros Moshe, on this rush. And that's the kudah of Teichachon. So I'd like to share with you a second thought. It begins with the Dvar Machshava, which comes from Sefer, at least in Teres HaNigla. It struck me over time that the number 11 seems to be a bad luck number. The guy could consider 13 a bad luck number. But it struck me that in Chazal, 11 always seems to be a bad luck number. Now, one of them is the 11 Arurim in this week's parasha. Rashi says, Yud Aleph Arurim Yeshkan Keneged Yud Aleph Shvatim Chutz Mishimim, whatever that means. But he says, Yud Aleph Arurim. So he started to collect all the 11s. So the Sorei Esav are 11. You look at the end, Parshas Vayetze, is it? Where it counts the Sarei Esav, the end of Parshas Tov, it's about 4 Vayetze. It counts 11 of the Sarei Esav, there are 11 Vayetze. Then, the Ramban says, in the end of Vayechi, that the Shvatim could never be 11. A 12 Shvatim. Sometimes Levi is not counted. So Ramban says, whenever Levi is not counted, we turn Yosef into Menashe and Ephraim to make sure it's 12. If Menashe and Ephraim are counted as 1, then Levi has to be counted. You can't have an 11. Can't be 11 Shvatim. Always has to be 12. When Yaakov gives the brachas, he doesn't separate Menashe and Ephraim. He gives the bracha to Yosef, Empire is Yosef. When Moshe Rabbeinu gives, he mentions Menashe and Ephraim separately. They reverse Ephraim and Alfei Menashe. Why? Because he leaves out one of the Shvatim. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give Shimon a bracha. Comes out there 11. Ramban says there can't be an 11. Can never be an 11. 11 is a simin of something bad. In the Hakdamah to the Rekeach, Sefer Rekeach, it has a biography. The Rekeach always wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael, and he got a shteller in Eretz Yisrael. They sent him a shteller. It says there in the biography, they offered him the pay for the year, 1,100, whatever the coins were, $1,100. So it brings a letter he wrote back. He said, I don't agree to 1,100. 1,100 we find twice in Tanakh. We find that the Plishtim bribed Delilah with 1,100 Zehuvim. You ever heard of Delilah? They bribed Delilah to tell on Shimshon, to be a traitor on Shimshon. That you heard of Shimshon. Delilah was his wife and turned him in. So she got paid 1,100 Zehuvim. And we find that Pesel Micha also, which I don't expect you to know, there are 1,100 that he paid 1,100 Zehuvim for the Pesel. So he says, don't give me 1,100, give me either more or less. But not 1,100. I don't agree to 1,100. It's not good. 11 is no good. So we find in a number of places 11. The Echarosa Miyadeya, the Echarosa Kechaya, is also the 11 Kechaya in Yosef's dream brought about the whole Machlaikis with his brothers, the whole dispute that ended up with Yosef being sold. So that in general we find this idea that Yud Aleph is not a good number, so to speak. There's a Gemara. The Gemara says that the number, how do you say 11 in Hebrew? You say 11 in Hebrew? Achadasa. There are three places in the Chumash where the Pasuk uses for the number 11 a different expression. It uses the word Ashtei Osa. We had in Parshas Nasai. Ashtei Osar. What's Ashtei Osar? It's Shtei Osar. Parshas Nasai. B'yayim Ashtei Osar. Yayim Nasai. What's Ashtei Osar? It's Shtei Osar, which is 12. With another letter added that makes it less. The Gemara says, Minayin Shekol HaMosef Gereya? It's Siv Ashtei Osar. Like Ashtei Osar is a lesson that something's no good. Mosef Gereya. The 11th month is Chaydish Av. The 11th parsha is Vayigash, which is Sosom, which doesn't, the only parsha in the whole Torah that's Sosom. There are a lot of 11s that are problematic. So I saw a Bior in the 11s as follows. 10 is something that's complete. Everything is 10. Asar Mamarais, Asar Sadibris. 10, you go to 10, right? 10 is a complete unit, you go to 11. In every country, it's the same thing. It counts in 10s. 10s is a complete unit. 11 is just one more. 10 people come into shul, the Asar Rishayim, the Mekabel Skar Keneged Kulam. They get Skar, it's a tremendous thing to be Asar Rishayim. Asar Rishayim, the problem is, you don't really believe it. Because I'll say, the first 10 gets Skar Keneged Kulam, you don't really believe it. See, I believe it. I try to be from the Asar Rishayim every day. I really believe it. You're going to see, I'm going to rake it in upstairs. Because I'm going to get, for every davening, I'm going to get Skar Keneged Kulam. At least by Shachris, usually learning somewhere, but I'm going to rake it in. You guys are going to say, hey, why don't we do this? Like, free. See, when something's on sale, 2 for 1, you know, like, I have a weakness for it. You get 2 for the price of 1, that's great. Even though we all know the one was raised, they raised the price, but I like bargains. So the Asar Rishayim, it's a bargain. It's great to be Asar Rishayim. I try to do it. I try to be Asar Rishayim whenever I could. What about the 11th person? The 11th person is really a Nebuch. The fellow who's the 20th or the 25th, okay, that's not his area. And Avodas Hashem, you know, that's not his thing. Everybody has a different area in which he excels. But the fellow who keeps on coming in number 11, you know, that's like, I think, the fifth person in the rotation, you know. It's like he just misses. He just misses. Be the 11th person? You couldn't do it? There's a bigger time on the 11th person who didn't make it than on the 25th. The 11th person is the person who almost made it and is just not making it. What a shame. What a busha. It's a bigger busha for him than for the person who comes later. 11 is someone who just missed it. The 11th Maimer. Hashem said Asar HaMamaris created the world. The 11th didn't get counted in the Asar HaMamaris. Aseres HaDibros. The 11th, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded first after the 10, nobody remembers. And you remember, if you don't remember, it's one of the Aseres HaDibros. I don't even know what the 11th is. It just misses. That's Edoy. That's Esav. The Sarei Esav are 11. Esav just missed. Yitzchak thought that Esav will be... It was good to Esav. It was good to Esav. Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to say, if Esav would walk into our shuls, we'd stand up for him, put him in the Mizrach Vant. He was a big man. But he had certain Yetzer Haris. He just missed. You're 11 because you just missed. You just didn't make it. Being 11 is just missing. There are a lot of 11th people walking around. There are a lot of people who just miss. There are some people who have no connection to Torah, no connection to Limud. All right, it's a chesaron. It's a problem. But the avla is the person who has that hergish and he never acts on it. He doesn't do it. That's the remez of the 11th. The 11th is like, come on. Come on, you could have done it. Chazal say, lost in love, Misham are going to see the Yetzirah like a thread and they're going to cry. I mean, what does that mean? If lost in love, you failed in something, you see Yetzirah as a mountain. All right, it's a mountain, I couldn't do anything about it. But if you see it's a thread, you're going to break down. You say, I needed a little more, that's all I needed. It's a time in life when you're in your years in yeshiva where it's up to you, is to make that connection, to make that chibur. It's, you know, there's a, when you hear, there's a thin wall between being matzliach and being a talmud chacham and failing. Once you're out and working, it's a very thick wall. How are you going to make up for it? Your time is limited, the distractions are many. If you don't learn to do it now, when your distractions are like a chut, you're never going to be matzliach. You'll never get there. There's a beautiful gra in Mishlei, Perek Tazayin. The gra says, it talks about this idea that the malach learns with a child in his mother's womb. Right? The malach learns with a child in the mother's womb. When you come out, he gives you a smack on the mouth and you forget it. So why did the malach learn with you in the mother's womb exactly? People ask, what about ladies? Do ladies learn in the mother's womb? So the Gross says the following. He says, each person, the malach learns with him in his mother's womb what he has to learn in this world. Whatever he, kafi kai chaysav, kafi tenuas nafshai, if you have a person who is born into a not irreligious family, so the malach learns with him a certain amount that kafi what he is, that's what he has to know. Maybe he learns with him Chumash Parshas, Sefer Bereishis, and that's it. The Gross says everybody in his mother's womb learns whatever is his obligation to accomplish in this world. Not everyone learns Kol HaTorah Kulo. Everyone learns, and that's your obligation. It's, when you walk out, that's your kaychis, and that's what you have to learn. So some people, the malach is more busy. Some people are less busy. Chaim Knievsky was in his mother's womb. The malachim were very busy. Kol HaTorah Kulo. A woman, what does a woman learn? Yeah, things a woman has to know. So she learns that. A guy, it's not the same thing. Gemara says, Akum Shalama Taira, Ari Yukakai and Gadol. Taisa says it means the Hilchis Sheva Mitzvah, so a guy also can learn his things. God doesn't say if a guy learns his things, but the Gra makes the following point. He says, in the Gra it says, V'ayim L'kamon, in Mishlei, and later in Perek Chafes, the Gra continues. Chazal say that when a person dies, malachim greet him. The Gra says it's the same malach. The malach who taught you greets you. And he takes out the list of what you were supposed to finish. And he's teveya. He teveya you, what you were supposed to finish. Is it tefiyah? Not kol HaTorah Kulo. But kafi tenuas nefesh of every person, he has an obligation to learn a certain amount. Now that's scary, because if I think I have to learn Kol HaTorah Kulo, so that's like a Yetzirah to Mount. I'm not learning Kol HaTorah Kulo. I'm not learning Kol HaTorah Kulo, Yerushalmi, you know. Chaim Chaz is Yerushalmi every year. I don't know if in my lifetime I'm going to ever finish Yerushalmi once. So if I think I have to learn Kol HaTorah Kulo, alright, so I'll battle a little. What's the difference? I'm not going to finish it anyway. But if I understand that there's a specific amount that I have to learn, you can miss it by a page, you can miss it by a mesechta, you can miss it by a small amount. Your nisayon, wherever you are, is to do a little bit better. It's pathetic to be a ishur aleph. Like, if you're going to fail, so fail already. Like, if you're going to fail, you're going to get a 64. What's the passing grade these days? 65 stuff. 65, yeah. So you're going to get a 64, that's it, you're going to fail, you go on the road test. If you're going to flunk, you might as well flunk. Flunk by 1 point, like a shame. The point is that people are closer to Hatzlacha than they think. Because everyone takes a certain amount of solace in the idea that I'm not learning Kol HaTorah Kulo, I'm not finishing everything anyway. There's no nechama in that. Each person has his thing he has to learn. And the idea that there could be people who step out of Masifta when they're in yeshiva a whole day, you start in kindergarten and you go through Masifta and you're in yeshiva a whole day, you come in the morning, you leave in the evening. Sometimes you leave it when you're in kindergarten, I don't remember what time I got out in kindergarten, but you're in elementary, so you get up 4:30, you get up 5:30, you go to Masifta, you get up 6:30, and bang, you go to Beis Medrash. 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon. Where does that come from? Where does it come from? It can only come if someone thinks he's a failure anyway. So what's the difference? Why shouldn't the person at least keep to his Masifta schedule? At least his Masifta schedule? It makes no sense. Since it's Parshas Kisava and everyone loves Teichacha, So I'm telling you that it's not an excuse. The fact that others around you are doing it is not an excuse. It makes zero sense. It's a failure in what you're setting out to do. And you could accomplish if you just stick to a normal schedule. That's all the Rosh Hashanah wants from you, is a normal schedule that normal people have. And if you do that, then you'll be a Nishmat Tzliach. You don't need Kol HaTayrukhu. So, that's the idea here in Parashas Kisavei, the idea of being Mekabel, being willing to be Mekabel is to hear it, to understand it, to work on it, to be Mekabel Teichacha. That's why we read the Teichacha. And I hope that these Mekudis are Mekudis that you can incorporate. The fact that you'll be happier that way, and the fact that you can reach it, it's so close, it's not so far. It's close nearby, you can do it, you can reach it. Just requires you get in the mode of doing it, and you can do it. Get in the schedule of doing it, you can do it. That's really what we want. That's what we desire, each of us, to get that extra step of better. I certainly hope that it'll be a year of bigger hatzlacha for everybody. Undertake something more. Not everything more, but something more. Fix your schedule. I think there are about 10 days, 11 days of yeshiva left till Yom Kippur. Till Ben Hazman. You have this week, and then 3 days and 4 days the week of Shana, and 3 days and 4 days the week of Yom Kippur. There's not there how many days left, maybe 12 days. Buckle down. You can do it. You can make it happen. I wish everybody a good Shabbos.